intimidated with Bevel the front row. I'm not sure how you feel about that.
You are lucky you're way back there.
I'm going to read a little something to you in John 3 in a minute. If you would go there in your Bible. John 3. Grieves me to interrupt good visiting. I'm sorry about that. But Wednesday night class is shorter. I want to mention a couple of things to you that we have going on here that intersect what we're doing in class. Are you guys all aware of the prayer gathering that goes on Tuesday nights? Are y'all familiar with that? So I wanted to mention that to you. Last night was my first opportunity to go. And one of the things that David is doing in the prayer gathering is he's including prayers last night for the host of guests we've been having recently. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we just had people finding their way to us recently. So they've been on that list. And then others that people are working with and studying with, and new converts. And so that really intersects what we're thinking about in this class. So I wanted to say to you, if you have somebody that you would like for the group to pray for, you can give that to David Pickup or pass it on to me or one of the elders, and we will bring that to the group if for whatever reason you're not able to be part of the Tuesday thing. Now, it'd be great if you could come, but if you can't, we'd still like to add your folks that you're interested in to our prayer list. I'm just amazed that I could keep talking while y'all were doing all of that. Hey, we got room. Don't run anybody out. I mean, we could. Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's like room for 27 more people. Absolutely. This is like Chick-fil-A, man. We're not turning anyone away. Just whoever wants to come, it's good. What's that? Okay. My pleasure. Okay. The other thing I wanted to mention to you tonight is this thing we got going on a week from Friday, right? That's not news to anybody in the room, right? So this event with Matt, for those of you who don't know Matt, he is formerly a member here and a guy who is preaching in Tennessee right now, but he has had a terminal ALS diagnosis. Yeah, I can't do that. And he's going to talk with us in a text talk style presentation about the problem of suffering. Why am I mentioning that in this class? Well, because people who don't believe in God or don't practice faith say their number one objection is, I cannot square the idea of God with all of the suffering and evil going on in the world today. And so that's going to be the topic we're talking about. So I want to encourage y'all to come, but this is really an event to bring people to. Maybe you've got a coworker who's going through some stuff with their parents, or they're going through stuff, or maybe someone who has struggled with faith and maybe that's come up along the way. This would be a really, really great opportunity to bring someone. So I wanted to mention that to you. I put some of these out in the foyer if you want to take one. Can I answer a question about that? Everybody kind of know what we're doing. There's going to be a Q&A period that night at the end, so people will be able to ask questions like we typically do it during text talk. And so I really think it would be great. I'm gonna add a little extra piece to that. I think it would be a great blessing to Matt and give him and Lauren a sense that the awful ordeal they're going through really can have a blessing if we could just fill up that place and throw our support behind them. So think about that too. I think it's just an added impetus to want to be part of that. As a way of encouraging them through what is a really, really difficult time. Okay? All right, wanted to get that out of the way. Just some stuff that intersects what we're doing in class. Let's pray together, and jump into what we want to talk about tonight. God, we're so glad we could be together, and we're just struck by how many people around us need to know about you. And so we pray we would hear the words of your Son to be wise in how we reach out to others, especially as our world is more hostile, that you would make us very effective in this work. Bless us as we think about that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a quick catch up. What we're doing in the class, for those of you who are new tonight, is we're trying to figure out how to fulfill our mission to tell other people about Jesus and how to do that in a world that is increasingly hostile to our message. And so one of the things we put on the table that's really been a focus is maybe we should think more about questions to ask rather than statements to make. Maybe we ought to be more trying to understand people first than just laying out the things that we believe, have people throw up defenses, and our conversations not get very well. So very far. So we suggested that maybe there are some generic questions that would fit in lots of different settings that we could just kind of ingrain in ourselves, so that when we're out talking to people, trying to scatter some seed, trying to turn some conversations, if we arm ourselves with these, they would make really useful tools to help us grab some moments and begin to talk to people about the Lord. So I want to start pitching some of those questions to you tonight and see if they will be useful for you. I want to go back to Jesus. Let me ask you a question about Jesus. Did Jesus ask people questions because he needed to know what they were thinking? I'm getting a general no because... Yeah, this is John 2, where I invited you tonight. Look at the end of the chapter, right after the cleansing of the temple. John 2, 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs, which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Wow, what an advantage. Wouldn't you like to be able to talk to people and know exactly what they were thinking as you had conversations with each other, right? So that's where Jesus was. Jesus could do that. He knew the motives that drove people. How many times does the text say he knew it was because of envy, or he knew they were trying to trick him? None of that was lost on him. He saw all of that. We don't know that. So I really want to impress upon you tonight that one of the reasons questions are so important is because we don't know where people are, and we ask questions to help us figure that out. Let me emphasize that I'm really trying to guard us against making assumptions that we do know what people are thinking. I think that gets us into trouble when we start having conversations. Someone says something, someone makes a statement that we've heard before, or lays some truth claim on the table that we've heard people say before, and what do we assume? I'm sorry? I know where that's coming from. I know why they said that. I know what they mean, and I think probably more often than not, we've assumed more than we really know. So that's why we ask questions. I think Jesus asked people questions because there were things he wanted them to see. He wanted to get the facts out on the table for their benefit. We're asking questions when we talk to people so that we can know where we are, where they are, and we can get information out on the table. Which brings me to my first kind of question. Broad general question to work with when you're talking to people is an information question. Where do you think that's going? What kind of question is that? An information question. Ask about them. Open-ended. Tell me what that means.
You basically don't, I mean, you let them say what, open-ended, just, you don't leave the question anywhere necessarily.
Okay. Okay? Not a yes or no question. What are we going to get out of this question? Yeah, I know sometimes I'm really into the obvious, right? But when we're talking to people, that's what I need. If I want to help people, and remember, our ultimate objective is to help people who don't know Jesus to find him. If that's my objective, the more I know about where they are, the better I'm able to help them. So the more information we can draw out when we talk to people, the better off we're going to be in helping them. So I think we'd actually do that all the time about lots of other stuff, and we don't even realize we're doing it. So pay attention over the course of the next 4 or 5 days. How many times you ask people for more information? How many times you say something like, okay, I didn't understand that. Can you explain that to me? Or tell me more. I'm not sure I get what you're saying. Do you say things like that? Think about that. You wanted in on this. I'm sorry. I'm not, you're patient with me. Thank you.
I'm putting an example out there of gathering information. I was in a conversation with a lady, and she went down a rabbit hole with me, and of course I followed.
We all do that sometimes.
And she was speaking on, she was gifted in tongues. And she said she went to a worship place, and she had a message speak to the people, and I asked her, well, what the message was it? She said, I don't know the message. She said, I just knew it was, I started speaking and they would understand. I said, well, she said, the lady beside me was interpreting it. And I said, did you know the lady? And she said, yes, I'm gathering information. Really, that's what I'm doing.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing. You're learning more about what she was saying, yeah.
So she said, yes, and she said, the lady gave me permission to go ahead and speak. She let me know when it was my turn to go ahead and speak the language. Well, was your audience, did they all know English? She said, yes. I said, okay. So if they knew English, why would you speak another language that they didn't know? So
and that was
at
the
that
guy.
Point, she didn't like it.
So I want you to notice.
We're
going to talk in a few weeks about leading questions, and that's questions that are trying to help people discover something for themselves. That's a great example of that. Yeah. So there you see questions working their way just into a religious conversation that had to come up. Going back, though, to just very sort of a basic default question, I have found that when I get in these situations where conversations come up and I'm not sure what to say, this is just such an easy place to start with a tell me more question. In fact, y'all watch me in this class, and I do it all the time. I've already done it tonight. Who did I do it to? I did it to Dylan.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't think I said it quite like that. But yes, that's exactly right. Because when Dylan, tell me what you said again.
You don't leave the question anywhere. You
let open-ended. Yeah. He said open-ended. And when he said that, now I'm going to expose my mind to the class, which is very scary for a minute. When Dylan said that to me, I thought, okay, I don't know where he was going with that. What do you mean open-ended question? What did I need? Tell me more. You see? I need some more data. And I will do that to you guys. In fact, when I talk about hijacking your comments, I don't really mean that. It means that I'm understanding them something. What I think I know what you're doing or saying, and so I'm going to run with it a little bit. But sometimes I'm wrong about that. Even when we're in Bible class and we're talking about the same subject, I don't always follow what you're telling me. By the way, you don't either, do you? Sometimes you would like to say, stop, David, tell me more. I don't get what you're saying. So listen, I'm just suggesting that we take this thing we do all the time and think more about doing when we're talking to people about spiritual things. Ask more often. Tell me more. Give me more information. I don't really understand what you're saying. I want to understand it better. Now, why is that important? Let me give you 4 things to think about. Number one, that is important because sometimes people say things that I do not understand. I'm talking about me and you. We are talking to people, and they say things to us, and we really don't get what they're saying. How many of you have had that experience? A spiritual conversation where someone said something you thought, no idea. I'll give you an example. I was invited to have a Bible study with one of our deacons in another church I worked with and his co-worker. And so I think I've said this in this class. If I'm redundant, forgive me. When I have a Bible study with anyone I don't know, I always start out by asking, okay, don't be insulted, but I just need to know. You believe in God, right? I ask that guy that. Yes, I believe in God. Okay. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Always start there too. And he said, no. Which means, oh, we need to start right in that spot. So I said, that's interesting. Do you mind if I ask you a question? Because you could just do this all the time. He said, sure. I said, do you believe that there's such a thing as absolute right and wrong? By the way, do you see where this is going? To which he said, absolutely, I believe in right and wrong. I said, okay, so I'm interested. If there is nothing from God, how do you decide what is right and wrong? And he smiled at me. He said, that's easy, man. You just embrace the positive and reject the negative.
Tell me more.
I was nicer than some of you. I didn't laugh at him. But I have to tell you, I had no idea what that meant. And so you're exactly right. I said, honestly, I'm not sure I understand what you mean by that. Could you explain that to me? Could you tell me more about that? So we did that for 90 minutes. He would explain, and I would say, okay, I'm still not sure I understand. Could you explain that to me again? Work that a little more for me. We literally did that for 90 minutes. Guess what we discovered at the end of 90 minutes? No, we didn't even get there. We discovered that he didn't know what it meant either. I don't know why he had said that, if that was a slogan he had picked up somewhere along the way. Now, look, that's all we did that night. What was our objective in that study? To put a stone in his shoe. What I hope he left with was a sense, I'm not sure that's a way to really establish objective morality. Maybe I need to think about that some. We didn't baptize him that night. We didn't convince him the Bible was the Word of God. We didn't talk about it. We spent all night talking about this idea that morality is established by embracing the positive and rejecting the negative, which we figured out, I think, isn't a way to establish objective morality. And he needed to think about that. That was a good starting place for him. So remember what we said about having that reasonable starting point with people? Our deacon was still going to be working with him. I'm sure that they've continued to have conversations, and I don't know where all of that's gone. I'm not invited to all the studies they've had, but they're going to keep talking. But that's where we started. Do you see how that works? Yep. Ooh, that's a really, really great question. What's our objective? Always. Where would we like to get them? Yeah, into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We would like for them to be saved. So after, remember, we're at the starting gate right now, and what I'm doing is trying to learn who they are and where they are. But once, like with this guy, we established he believes in God, he doesn't believe God's spoken. With him, that's the next step. And yeah, that can have a lot of tentacles. Mm-hmm. And so what you want to try to do is bring people back to those fundamental pieces, okay? We may have to trace a little rabbit, go down that hole a little bit. We want to come back to, okay, but we got to have a way to decide. If there is a God, what will please him, what will not please him? And then once we decide how we figure that out, then what is it that will please him? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
And then you're like, okay, this got way out of hand really fast. Anyway, you can turn it into a big philosophical discussion, but of course that gets you nowhere if they don't believe in God.
So may I jump down into the rabbit hole and completely distract our class and say, if you're really interested in lost people, you should probably not post anything about what you believe on social media? Because, think about it. Remember what did you just do? Shields up. Thank you. Make the Star Trek noise, right? Shields up. When they read my post And I've put this on the table. And then maybe I've even said, the other thing you can't control on social media are the awful things that people say that don't represent you at all, right? There's another whole problem that factors into that. Listen, I told y'all, I post three things on Facebook. Meeting announcements, pictures of my adorable granddaughter, and vacation pictures. Mountains and lakes, and that's all. Because I have friends that aren't Christians who are friends on Facebook that I want to influence. And if I give away too much, then I build walls and put up defenses, and I'm trying hard not to do that. So I just don't think social media, having watched a vicious train wreck yesterday, I don't think social media is a very good setting for trying to engage on complicated issues.
I didn't try to.
And I wasn't fussing at you. I didn't know that. So.
Yeah. Celebrate with, not attack me. But I forgot about some extended family members. So if I have an opportunity now to talk with them about it, I hope. But again, shields are kind of out of policy.
Yeah, yeah. Because and that's a challenge, isn't it?
They made a lot of assumptions about me and what I believe based on that.
I'm really thrilled that you shared that because it gives us an opportunity to see that. I appreciate that. Let me give you a second thing to think about. Information questions are important because sometimes we think we understand when we really don't. So we hear people say things and we think we know where that's coming from, and sometimes we actually don't know. So let me ask you, it'll probably only apply to those of you who are older. Have you ever had someone say to you, "Oh, you're Church of Christ"? I didn't say anything yet. Why are y'all laughing? You think you're the only ones going to heaven? How many of y'all had someone say that to you? Wow, way more than I thought. So when I first started preaching up in Huntsville, Texas, I was picking up business cards from a guy that was printing them for me. And he looked at my card and said, "Oh, Church of Christ." And then he made that statement. How does that make you feel? It kind of felt like a shot, right? And yeah, I think my propensity is, shields up. I'm a little defensive. Don't be, but that's kind of where we go, right? And we think we know what people mean when they say that. And it feels like a shot, which is, by the way, why we're tempted to lock and load. Yes, thank you. However, I'm gonna ask you to consider the possibility that we probably don't know where that shot came from at all. So let me pitch some possibilities. If you were to ask the guy something like, "That's an interesting thing to say. What do you mean?" First of all, kind of freak him out. But think about the possible answers. What if he said, "Oh, dude, I grew up Church of Christ. I know all about you guys." Is that a possibility? Didn't obviously learn about the nature of the church, but yeah, that's a possibility. What if he said, "Growing up, my best friend was Church of Christ. I was Lutheran, and he spent his whole time telling me why I was wrong about everything." By the way, you think that could be a real story? Yeah. Are you going to handle those two guys the same way? No. Second guy, I might start out by saying, "I'm really sorry that someone treated you that way. That wasn't very kind. We should all be kind when we talk about our religious differences." Third person might say, "Oh, that's just always what I heard growing up. My mom used to say that." Gonna handle that one differently? You see my point? Sometimes we think we know, and we don't know. And it probably would be helpful to ask for more information so we kind of know how to respond to that. Okay? Let me give you a third thing to ponder. Let's just keep building on this. Third thing to ponder is sometimes the other guy doesn't know what he believes or understand his own position. What's that? Okay, so I'm going to not be guilty of what I just criticized, okay? So I'm not trying to be unkind about people, but I do have a responsibility to equip us to be ready to deal with people. And so here's the truth. not everybody believes what they believe because they spent hours with an open Bible researching and studying to reach a conclusion. Let's be honest. Some of us believe what we believe because it's just what we've always been around and what we've always heard, and we probably need to work harder at it too. So was that fair enough? But the reality is that we're going to talk to people who don't understand their own position. My friend that I studied with who said, you establish morality by embracing the positive and rejecting the negative, never really realized that he didn't know what that meant. By the way, it's really easy to fall in the trap of being catty when you discover that. That's not what we're after. We love this guy. We want to find a way to Jesus. And part of that is figuring out, gently, that doesn't work. Let me give you an example from something that you will really relate to, because I know you guys have all heard someone say this before. So I was reading a young lady's blog. She's a college student that I know. Used to be a disciple, but she's been off the reservation for a while now. And something had happened in the media. And so she, on her blog, went on this lengthy rant about transgenderism and the gay-lesbian agenda. And, of course, along the way, ranting about people who had said negative things about those movements, she made what statement? Sorry? Well, yeah, that was there. You have no right to judge. Anybody ever heard that before? Right? I mean, that is standard mantra for our culture. You have no right to judge. By the way, do I even need to point out fundamentally how that reasoning is flawed? She says as she judges. Again, fight the urge to be catty, right? Because it would be really easy to comment at the end of her blog and said, she says as she judges those of us who judge, right? Yeah, that'd be really easy to say that. So I love this young lady. I care about her. I'm grieved over her situation. I wanted to help her. So I sent her a message, and I said, could you tell me a little more about this statement you made, that we know no right to judge? I'd like to understand your view of that better. And so she and I actually messaged each other on Facebook back and forth about 3 or 4 messages. Very cordial, very nice. And it just took about 3 or 4 messages before she sent me a message that said, yeah, I probably need to go back and take another look at my reasoning there. And guess what I did after that? I left it. What did I do? I hope I left. Earl, I need to get you a t-shirt, buddy. You got it down. At that point, I had done what I wanted to do with the conversation. And I said, I love you, always here for you, and thank you for being able to have a reasonable conversation when we disagree on this. And that was the end. And I hope maybe I can have another conversation with her. Maybe not. But I hope she's at least thinking about that. I think she is. You see the point? Sometimes people don't understand their own positions because either they're just repeating what they were taught growing up or parroting what is said as culture, and they haven't really thought it through. And it's relatively easy to help them see that just by asking them for more information. Literally, hey, explain that to me. I want to understand that. I don't get it. And maybe like you, maybe even a few extra questions along the way. Does that make sense to everybody else? See how that works?
David, at some point, though, did you help her understand the flaw in her logic, or just by continually asking questions, did she come to the realization of her own?
Actually, in this case, she saw it herself. I wind up at some point in the exchange asking her, does the principle apply to all people and about all subjects? And that's when she sat back and said, okay, I think I need to go back and take another look at my reasoning there. So I'm not always sure that I can nail down if I've made progress without it looking like I'm spiking the ball, but That's what I hope she did.
So
yes?
How long ago was that? Have you heard back?
No, I haven't heard back from her in probably 2 years. So, you know, guys, we plant the seed, don't we?
But you have that relationship. You can go back. You remember we talked about a long time? Did you have any more thoughts? Did we have a discussion?
Well, I just try to keep up with her, and if I see another door, I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try to take advantage of that. But that's, remember we started out with this simple objective of planting a seed or putting a stone in someone's shoe. And sometimes you have to be content with that in the moment. She didn't want to go further with me. And so I'm.
That shows good restraint because you want to kind of push the topic. I would.
Yeah, well, and when you care about somebody especially, it's really hard not to do that. Okay, yes, sir. Did you want in?
These are interesting things we're talking about. And what he said is there's this point where we draw the line. And you know, what you're saying is, well, give me some more information about that. It sounds very much like tolerance to their beliefs. No, I'm so sorry that someone passed judgment on you about so-and-so. But we can't go in with that attitude thinking that we can't. I mean, we absolutely do not judge people outside of the church. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, into 1 Corinthians 3. Who are you to judge those outside the church? God will judge those. Let him do that. And that's the dividing line. They're already condemned because they didn't believe in God's one and only Son. We have no reason to pass judgment on anything that they do.
Well, let me be clear about something. Let's be careful about the judgment because the truth is everybody judges all of the time. The obligation of a disciple is to judge righteously, right? But the truth is, you looked at that person that got your parking place and judged them, or the person that zipped past you and cut you off and you judged them. We do judgments all the time in all kinds of settings. Our obligation is to judge righteously. So this notion that it's wrong to judge, listen, people just haven't thought about that because nobody practices that ever. Everybody is passing judgment all the time about trivial things, important things, and everything in between. Did you want in on this? You had.
No, I was just saying it'd be hard not to get in and say, God, our Creator, who has the only right to judge.
Yep.
I mean, I would have tried to insert that just as a.
Yeah, and let me be clear. I am certainly not recommending in class that we don't pursue things with people, except when would we stop pursuing something with someone? When they are not interested in going forward. So going back to my friend, our exchange was clear at the end that she was done talking to me. Not unkind, but clear that she was done. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to ask for a terminology clarification. When
sure.
We say judge here. It's not judge as in like telling them that like because of your opinion you're going to hell. It's judge as in we're just making a decision, a judgment to ourselves about where this person's at. It's not necessarily taking an action against them because of that.
Righteous judges versus unrighteous judgment. But the truth is we judge people about come on. Like y'all haven't walked through the mall and said to yourself, she's wearing that? Come on, I mean, that just happens all the time. Or she fixed this for dinner? What's that about? We pass judgment. My wife does have kale in my house. I'm just putting it out there, okay? So my point about that is that the obligation of a disciple is to judge righteously, but everybody judges all the time about all kinds of things. Everybody does. Okay? Real quick, I got to move on.
I just wanted to finish my point. 1 Corinthians 2, the spirit of man judges all things, but he himself is not rightly judged by anyone. We have to discern as Christians, we will judge every single thing that happens to us and determine in our own minds if this is something holy that God supports or rejects. The Christianization of the pagans became the paganization of Christianity. You know, when Constantine won at the Battle of...
Okay, hold on, but I got 5 minutes left, and I really got to finish. Get with me after class. I'll go down this road with you, but I can't go down that road tonight. I don't have time in my class, okay? So last thing I need you guys to look at before we're out of time. This information question is really helpful to get us out of traps. What does that mean? So I was teaching this class once before, and I asked my students to bring to me situations that they had gotten into that they weren't sure how to handle, moments where they weren't sure what to say. So one night, one of the girls brings this situation to class. She said, I've got this coworker who is a lesbian, and we've become friends, and I've been talking to her. And so she came to me the other day, and she said, okay, I know you're a churchgoer. You know how I live. I want to know what you think about my lifestyle. What's the trap?
You either agree or we're not going to be friends anymore.
Yes.
Sherry knows the answer.
Or think she, well, okay, so now here's the deal. Here's the problem. It's like, guys, when your wife says, how do I look in the dress?
That's some dress.
Weak. Is she looking for an honest assessment or validation? You see what I'm saying? There's our problem. And that's what's going on here. This question is a trap because the motive hasn't been put on the table. So what do we need? What information do we need to get out on the table here? Motive needs to be on the table. Not even for my benefit, for whose? Because I think a lot of times when people ask this question, they don't even realize what the motive is behind it. They haven't thought that far into it.
And their shields are probably already up.
Or getting there quickly, right? So what we recommended to her, we talked about it in the class, was to go back and to ask that very question in a gentle way. So before I answer, let me ask you a question. Why are you interested in my opinion? Got to be real careful about tone there. And I don't know what the comeback will be. It may be, I don't know. And she probably doesn't. She probably hadn't even thought about that. And so, as a follow-up to that, we suggested this. Say to her, I don't think it matters what I believe about how you live your life. By the way, is that true?
Yes.
It's absolutely true. I don't tell people how to live their life. But I believe there's a God who made us, and as the Creator, He has a right to tell all of us how to live our lives. We together? You see the difference between those two things? First statement is very disarming because people have been told in culture that that's what Christians do. They tell everybody how to live their life. So take that away. Not me. I think that's God's prerogative, not my prerogative. But now what have you brought to the equation? God. And so there's the next question. I believe in God. Do you believe in God? And what may follow? They may say no. Which now the conversation needs to be about. We need to have an evidences discussion way before we start talking about people's moral choices. What if she said, well, you know, I went as a kid, but I don't go anymore.
Why'd you stop?
Yeah. Let's talk about why you stopped and are you interested in getting back?
She said maybe, and that maybe depends on what God thinks about how I want
to live. Maybe so. Or maybe she says, yes, I believe in God. I go to church every Sunday. Would you be interested? I don't think it matters what I believe about your lifestyle, but I'd be happy for us to look at God's word and see what He says about that. Do you see the difference? I know someone said the defenses are ready to go up, right? We're right on the edge of that. This is a really controversial issue. But do you see how questions kind of soften our conversation about that? And we're drawing them out. I think that asking a question sometimes saves us from falling into that trap. Okay? So when we get in these moments and we're not sure what to say, for me, the default thing to go back to is a tell me more question. Tell me why you're saying that. Help me understand your view better. Yes, sir.
Sometimes we might think back, has there ever been anybody in the history of the world that's changed their mind about their lifestyle? And you can go through your life and realize, I know a homosexual that turned away before he died of AIDS. Question about getting turned away. I know other homosexuals, they have kept their lifestyle. Why would we think that this person is automatically never going to consider it?
Oh, listen, God has been trying to teach me for 57 years to quit writing people off. If the Apostle Paul found his way to Jesus, anybody can. Okay? More questions coming up. Thanks for your help tonight.